coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
What's so interesting is that we have decades and decades and decades of research that show that there really is one thing that is one of the best predictors for how well kids turn out on everything we measure them on.
Hi, everyone. I'm Drew Brode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast, one of the very best scientific predictors for how any child turns out in terms of happiness, social skills, mental health, academic success, and meaningful relationships is whether at least one adult in their life has consistently shown up for them. In this week's mini episode, I speak with Tina Bryson, Dina Margolin, and Jennifer Colari about how to develop secure attachment in your kids and how providing a calm, safe presence can radically change how a child's brain develops and how to help our kids process big feelings. Let's listen in, starting with my interview with Dr. Tina Bryson, a licensed clinical social worker and the founder and executive director of the Center for Connection and the Play Strong Institute.
What's so interesting is that we have decades and decades and decades of research that show that there really is one thing that is one of the best predictors for how well kids turn out on everything we measure them on. I mean, this is social skills, this is mental health, this is academic success. I mean, really sort of all the areas we really want our kids to do well. And what they found was that that one thing was that the child has what's called secure attachment with their parent. And when Dan and I like to kind of get into this and talk about what is secure attachment at its essence, it really is the idea of a parent showing up for a kid. Now, we break that down even more and talk about how that looks like the four S's, which is safe, seen, soothed. And if you have enough of those three kinds of experiences repeatedly, you have the fourth S, which is secure, which is basically where you have enough experiences, not perfect, but enough predictable times of feeling safe, seen, and soothed, which we can talk a little bit more about. And then if you have those repeated experiences, your brain actually wires to securely know and expect that if you have a need, someone will see it and show up for you.
What's beautiful for this conversation and is that this is not just relevant to kids.
No.
This is applicable to all aspects of our life, including how we were parented and the lasting of impact of that.
Absolutely. And how we were parented, as well as other kinds of friendships we've had, other kinds of romantic relationships we've had.
Other influences in our life.
Absolutely.
Teachers, coaches, etc.
Absolutely. And really, the sort of scaffolding or the framework our brain has to make sort of its best guesses or predictions about how people are going to respond to us and what to expect in relationships comes from primarily our repeated experiences with who our primary caregivers were. So sometimes that's parents, sometimes it is other adults in our lives, but really the collective experience of many relationships, because the brain is an association machine. And so what happens is these repeated experiences we have create sort of this mental model or this framework that our brain uses to make decisions, but also what can I expect in relationships? Can I expect that if I have a need, someone will notice it and show up for me? Or have I learned from my repeated experiences relationally that people aren't going to be there for me? Or that my feelings and my needs are going to be ignored, or the people I trust are actually going to do me harm. So depending on the kinds of collective experiences we have from many relationships, the brain wires those expectations and those memories, and it becomes a huge part of who we are.
Big feelings are a part of life. Everyone knows that. When it comes to helping our children process big feelings, we want to help them discover their natural strengths and build new tools for looking inside, making sense of what they're experiencing, and internalizing new ways to approach challenges and stress. I explore this topic in my interview with my good friend, Dina Margolin, a marriage and family therapist and mindfulness teacher.
You know, there's really three main pillars that I think about when I work to help a child build up these resilient qualities. I think of it as the three SCs of building security. Security is this thing that we internalize. It's our ability to take risks, to know that if we fail, it's okay. It's a learning experience. And to know that I can trust others and rely on them when I'm having a hard time, when I need to be comforted or soothed, or when I need help with something. Kids need a lot of help with things.
Totally.
Right? So the three SCs are feeling seen and cared for as one of them. What that means is looking inside and recognizing what's happening. This is the idea of big feelings. Sometimes there are intense things happening, and your feelings are actually really tied to your body. That's why we call them feelings, or something you feel. Thoughts tend to arise in words or images more naturally, but feelings are a little bit more complex and really tied to our body sensations.
And as children, if I could just jump in, they don't have the same ability to, because their mind is still forming, as adults often, adults of course still have feelings too, but they think a little bit maybe more in terms of words and other stuff, and they have the tools and the vocabulary and the language. Kids don't have access to those same tools. So they're often left more with the feelings that are there and not exactly having the words to match up with what the feelings are.
Right, exactly. And words are really important because the way you speak to your child becomes their inner voice. So words are crucial. I use words to guide my children's attention inwards so that they can build awareness around what's happening in their body, the thoughts that are running through their mind, the feelings that come up. And feelings are also really related to needs. So we have big feelings, the intense ones, like feeling scared or overwhelmed, or anger can be a really big one. And by the way, under anger, there's usually a sadness, a fear, or a hurt, a pain that's happening. So we want to be able to see that within our children and show them that we see what's happening. Because when we bring our attention to their inside world, they bring their attention to their inside world. Mm. Think of it almost as you want to help them build a compass for the rest of life. Rather than being told what to do by you as the parent or other people, the more you can slow it down and help them feel seen, that I see you're having a hard time and it matters to me, the more they'll be able to do that. And what we know is that neurons that fire together will wire together. So the more you direct their attention inwards, the more those neurons fire and the stronger that tool becomes for the rest of their life.
So important. You know, it reminds me of a podcast that we had earlier in the year with my new friend, Eddie Stern, yoga teacher, and he wrote a book on yoga and the science of the brain. And one of the things that he mentioned inside of there was that it's so crazy to think that we teach kids how to tie their shoe, but we don't teach them about their brain or how to calm down or how to do these other things. And part of his work is that he's teaching meditation in schools. What, you just expect a kid to know how to do it on their own and you're not giving them the tools and the ability? It's crazy. You know, you wouldn't look at a kid and say, hey, without me even teaching you, figure out how to tie your shoe, and then get upset at them and freak out when they're not doing it correctly. And yet that's sort of the modern state of parenting, is there is telling a kid what to do and then freaking out when it doesn't happen.
Right. And that kind of leads us into our next SC of security, which is helping your child feel safe and contained. Now, safety means physical safety, like they're not going to be abused physically, sexually, but it also means emotional safety. This is holding space for them to actually be honest about what's happening inside. Now, if there's not safety, then of course, being honest isn't a great strategy. It gets you in trouble. It gets your parents upset with you, and that feels terrible as a child. These are the people you love the very most. It's natural to be upset, but there's a difference between being upset with your child versus creating a situation that doesn't feel safe.
We all want to be deeply understood. The way the human brain learns appears to be related to what's called the mirror neuron system, which is responsible not only for the acquisition of language and motor skills, but also for how we acquire social skills and our ability to empathize with others. Through mirroring and reflecting feelings back, we let children know that we care about them and understand them. And we also help them organize their own feelings by seeing them mirrored in our own expressions and body language. Jennifer Colari, a child and family therapist and one of the nation's leading parenting experts, shares with us the CALM technique, which is based on mirroring and helps parents connect with their child in any situation to reduce anxiety, de-escalate tantrums, and increase self-esteem. Let's go into the CALM technique.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through it.
Okay.
What's the methodology? How do we approach it? And how can somebody use it in their own life?
Okay, so there are four key things that you're going to do. The first one is you're going to connect. Now, this is an interesting one because we often have our cell phones in our hands, or we're thinking of five other things that we need to do, or we're so busy trying to stick to our own agenda, let's say, that we have a difficult time taking our agenda, taking our emotions, whatever those are, and just parking them. You get to bring them back, and we'll talk about this in the hour. I'm actually all about limit setting and all about structure for kids because I think that's really important, but you don't start there. You start with the connection and with the empathy first. So that's the C. And you're going to use your face, you're going to use your shoulders, you're going to use your body to really demonstrate to that little person or that coworker or your husband or whoever it is that you're present and you really want to understand them. You want to get them. It doesn't mean you want to agree with them. It doesn't mean they're going to be right. It means you just want to get them. Okay. Then the next one is A. So this is the affect matching. So this is where the look on your face has to kind of match the look on their face. Right? There can't be a big difference there. So let's say your little one comes home and says, I thought Julie loved me, but I found out today she loves Noah. Okay, so that's really cute if they're like four and you want to be like, oh, honey, this has nothing to do with what they're feeling.
Yeah, right? For those that are listening, you're like smiling.
Yes.
You're like, this is so cute. You're laughing a little
right.
bit, but that's not what they're going
not
through.
Not what they're going through. And if they see that on your face, they're going to go, okay, so mom's not getting this. Dad is not getting this. I need to ramp this up a little bit so they can see how upsetting this really is. And that's where you get the escalation, right? So the affect has to match and you have to take your agenda, which is just, can you just get to bed? Or can't you just listen to me for 5 seconds? Or why can't I just do one thing without you getting mad at me? And you have to put that aside. You get to bring it back. It's incredibly important to bring it back, but we want to bring it back at a time when it's actually, you're teaching that moment can actually be useful and not rejected. The next part is listen. So this is where you're going to paraphrase, you can summarize, you can clarify, or you can wonder out loud. I'll take you through a whole example. And that's where you're choosing your words. The words are actually the least important. It's how you look. It's the look on your face. You can say absolutely nothing. You can go, wow, hold on a second. Like you just told me so many things there. That's a lot. Oh my gosh. I'm affect matching. Right? I didn't say anything, but they're going to wait and go, ooh, she's really getting me. I want to see what she has to say, right? So it's so much of it is affect-based. It's really about the connection. It's about the moment.
Which, if I could interrupt for a second.
Yes, please.
Anybody who's listened to this podcast and knows the work of Stephen Porges and the polyvagal theory, and especially with kids, you're talking about how just connecting the dots for the folks that are listening, kids don't have that fully developed prefrontal cortex. And instead, a lot of that self-soothing is happening in the vagal for mm-hmm. kids and adults.
Mm-hmm.
And our body, whether we realize it or not, is looking to other human beings to see, can we get some level of self-soothing?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's why when we talk with babies, we use this high-pitched voice or
yep.
this or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just indications that there is a level of soothing and that the body is feeling like, okay, I am maybe not going to experience this pain because I'm being protected in
mm-hmm.
this
exactly.
in this moment. So this
exactly.
just ties right into the work
completely.
That you're talking about.
And I'll break it down into little steps so you can really follow it because it really is very prescriptive. And then the M, just so you know, is when you've done all those things, you've had a moment where you've mirrored. Human beings are social beings. Every single one of us is here because somebody loved us. Somebody loved us enough to pick us up, feed us, make sure we were safe in some way so that we survived. And when we become afraid, the first thing we do is we want comfort. We want to be a part of something. You know, we want to be around other people to help us feel safer. And so we have to create that emotional safety for our kids. And when we blow it, we have to know how to repair it and we have to know how to fix it.
When parents consistently show up, their children's minds come to expect that the world is a place that can be understood and meaningfully interacted with, even in times of trouble and pain. Your job as a parent, if you are a parent or if you want to be a parent one day, is not to prevent your kids from experiencing setbacks and failures. That's not possible. But to give them the tools and emotional resilience they need to weather life's storms and then to walk beside them through those storms. Thank you for tuning into this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please follow our featured experts, Jennifer Kalari, Dr. Tina Bryson, and Dina Margolin on Instagram. You can find their link to their bios on Instagram in the show notes below. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.